You're listening to the best of Serenade Love podcast. You're rocking with your boy, Hurricane Righteous. Please subscribe if you haven't subscribed to the podcast. We would love to have you leave your comments below. Anything that you want to add to it, please let us know. We'll be praying for you as you pray for us. And we continue to bring you what we enjoy doing, the best in gospel music, news, and entertainment. Thank you all so much. Again, we love you, we love you, we love you. And you are now ready to listen to the latest in the Serenade of Love podcast.
Serenade of Love is sponsored by Elegant Warrior, a brand to inspire. For more information on our products, go to elegantwarriorinspire.com.
Tired of hearing commercials during your worship time? Download Godify now, the first major Christian streaming service. From Jeremy Kemp to Kirk Franklin, listen to music commercial-free. Godify is available on Google Play and iOS for Apple users. Stream music videos, podcasts, sermons, and more. Use the promo code STRAIGHTTALK to receive your 30-day free trial. That's Straight Talk for your 30 days free trial of Godify. For indie artists, stream your music on Godify by submitting your music to info@godifystreams.com. That's info@godifystreams.com. It's the full Christian experience. Finally, a streaming service designed for you.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the podcast right here with your boy, Ricardo Montgomery, a.k.a. the voice of Gospel Radio and Ricky Righteous, right here for you on this day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I tell y'all what, man, this is a blessed time because this is a Mother's Day show. I am so happy to be a part of this show. We got a lot of information going on out there. I want y'all to be a part of it. These women are going to hit you really hard with some good information, uplift you. So I hope this one podcast is one that you will just sit back, relax, and enjoy, soak in all the information. They're going to touch your lives in a mighty way, and the move of God is on its way for you. First, I want to just pray for all of you all, no matter what situation that you're in. If your state is open, I want to pray that you do all the right things. If your state is not open yet, you know, pray to be, for patience and, you know, do what God's asking you to do in this season. In this season, do what God is asking you to do. I want to also thank everybody who tunes into this podcast, who tunes into the radio show for your votes. We are now finalists and we're going to go to Atlanta for the Gospel Choice Music Awards. Also, go get that Godify app. Go get that Godify app. Yes, the time that we had is over for your free listening time. But the subscription, if you get the subscription, you can. Part of that subscription will go pay. Will go help the victims of the COVID-19 victims in their families. It will help their families with some financial help during this time period, which we all know that these families and a lot of families are struggling during this time period. So if you go get that Godify app, which is nothing but Christian content for you, gospel music, gospel shows, and also a portion of this video, the video portion of the interview that you will get to see, I mean here rather, will be on Godify. So the video portion of this interview that you get to hear will be right here on Godify. So just want to let y'all know that. Well, I'm gonna get out of the way. I'm gonna play one quick song and I'm gonna get y'all into this interview with these mighty women of God right here on the podcast, Serenade of Love, Straight Talk, combined today, Mother's Day, great show, women, leadership experience.
Every worshiper, stand on your feet right now, and let's begin to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in this house. Listen.
tired of hearing commercials during your worship time? Download Godify now, the first major Christian streaming service. From Jeremy Kemp to Kirk Franklin, listen to music commercial-free. Godify is available on Google Play and iOS for Apple users. Stream music videos, podcasts, sermons, and more. Use the promo code STRAIGHTTALK to receive your 30-day free trial. That's Straight Talk for your 30 days free trial of Godify. For indie artists, stream your music on Godify by submitting your music to info@godifystreams.com. That's info@godifystreams.com. It's the full Christian experience. Finally, a streaming service designed for you.
Welcome back to the show. So happy to be here. Happy Mother's Day to everyone out there. Happy Mother's Day, and I hope you're having a blessed weekend, even if you're staying at home or if you're able to get out. So just be careful out there. Wear your mask. Do all the things you need to do. Be prayed up, and let's do some let's enjoy each other during this time. But right now, I need y'all to stop whatever it is you're doing. If you're drinking coffee, slow down, because this is going to be good. I have three powerful women of God that I've been promoting, because I can't wait to get this on. This is what I call the Women Leadership Experience, and these three powerful women here are with me this morning. Right now, we have Pastor Rachel Wilson on the line with us. She's all the way out of North Carolina. We also have Pastor Deborah Williams all the way out of Alabama, Mobile, Alabama, down there. And we also have Missouri's own First Lady Hendricks out of Jefferson City, Missouri. How y'all ladies doing today?
Pretty good. I also like to mention that I'm Reverend.
Oh, I'm sorry. Get me straight. Don't shortchange nothing. Reverend Hendricks out of the Joshua House.
Yes.
In Jefferson City, Missouri. Yeah. How are y'all doing today? I'm so happy to have you all.
Wonderful.
Doing wonderful. Yeah. Thank you for allowing us to be here.
Now,
yes, thank you for the opportunity.
Now, this show, the Lord just came to me and just women leadership. And I couldn't think of three other more great women to be able to help in these areas, because all of you all do different things in your communities, in your churches, in leadership roles. And my whole thing is I wanted to be able to help push young ladies, because I know that you all are mentoring so many young women or in so many different areas. But we wanted to be able to break it down and help them know that it's going to be obstacles. It's going to be things that they're going to have to go through if they want to be in leadership in church. But at the same time, growing up to be a leader as a woman, because there's so many different obstacles just being a woman in this society. So I'm so glad that y'all are here with me today. First thing first is let me get a little bit of each one of your stories. Just a little bit, not much, just a little bit of how you got to where you are. So let's start with you, Pastor Rachel, then we'll just work around and just give us a little bit of your story, so we can move forward with some, so everybody get to know who you are and really connect to you.
Okay, and do you want the information just from me, from my perspective of a minister in ministry, or just you? Oh, okay.
I owe you. Yeah.
Okay, yes. Well, it's so much to the story, so much to the book, but definitely I would just say I've always been a young lady with a heart. I've always had a heart for God, always had a heart for people, just love people. One of my greatest things to do is give. I just have always had a heart to give, and known from a little girl that I would be found in ministry. My dream have always been to be in ministry, as a little girl, to marry a minister and do a work for the Lord and be a mother. So those are very complex things. that was my desire. That really was my desire. It wasn't to be, a lawyer or all of these other major things, even though later I thought about that, because I could argue you down. I said, well, I probably would be a good lawyer, but literally that was my heart. And as a result of it, from a little girl, God would begin to use me greatly, just through words, through expounding, through bringing people together, coming up through teenage, and I know I got to hurry, but God had always been the compass to lead me to be able to be a giver and do that. And as a result, at the age of 19, I was engaged with a minister, and we've been pastoring for 24 years. We got married a year later. I married a minister. We have been pastoring for 24 years, and oh my goodness, it has been an amazing journey. We've had the good, the bad, the ugly, and the real, real, real ugly in ministry. I didn't know what I was asking for, but I would never take back the word to want to do a work for the Lord. God bless you all out there.
Amen.
Awesome.
Amen. Amen. God bless you.
All right, First Lady Hendricks, you go ahead.
Oh, Lord. Yeah. Okay. You know, people, they often, when I, okay, so let me just lay it out there. I was not a church goer. I did not go to church. My husband was always the church goer. And I was that girl that was, I don't want to go to church today. And so it wasn't until, so my thing was, I was the one that was saying, I do not want to be married to no pastor. I'm not wearing no long dresses. All of the cliches and which had been set before me, I was sitting in opposition. I was saying no to this, no to that, no to this. And so when my husband came home one day and was like, he had accepted his calling into the ministry, I said, excuse me? You accept your what? I had said that this was not the lifestyle that I was looking forward to. So what do you mean you've accepted your calling to the ministry? Moving forward, he accepted his calling into the ministry. And 10 years, I had always worked. I had begun to get involved in church, and we had found us a church home. And, you know, my opposition was that I never found placement. I never found a place that I could actually fit in. And ministry was always somewhat boring to me. And so I didn't understand the relationship. You know, I've always taken with ministry of other people, the concept of other people, versus having the relationship with God myself. So it wasn't until I was sitting on a box of Pampers, a box of diapers, that I was at home by myself, and I began to reach out and began to pray and ask God to just show himself to me. And as I began to pray, I could feel the Spirit of God come over me. And it was almost like, I mean, I could literally feel God's presence next to me. And so at that moment, after all of those years of hearing about God, it wasn't until that moment that I really had a relationship with God. And so then I began to develop an actual relationship with God and begin to want to know more about Him and begin to understand the Bible and began to find me a good church home that had good teaching and had that understanding that really enabled me to be a better person. And when God called me to the ministry, I was so, I had to ask for forgiveness first, because I was so negative when my husband had accepted his calling into the ministry. And then now here I am saying that the Lord didn't call me. I was like, oh, no, I can't do this. But after I accepted my call, it took me 2 years. I knew for myself, but it actually took me 2 years to accept my calling to the ministry. And it wasn't until my brother tried to commit suicide, not one time, but three on three different occasions. And then I had a really bad car accident. Spent off the highway, and I knew that God was trying to get my attention because He was putting forth all these different signs and all of this other stuff. And so, lo and behold, I ran to the altar. I ran to the front, and I said, I am accepting my calling into the ministry. Lord, here I am. I'm here to serve You. And so, from that point forward, it's now been 10 years. Awesome. I've been in the ministry, and it's been 23 years I've been walking alongside my husband in the ministry. So it has definitely been a very good works, and just to see how the Lord has just used us in a wonderful way. It's almost like, you know, and when you're looking in hindsight, you think you're those people that you're untouchable, but when God just humbles you and puts you in a place to be used, that there's no person that feels like they're too small, or no situation that feels like it's too big that God can't use you in that situation. And so I hope I'm just not rambling, but that you understand exactly where I'm coming from as I'm trying to explain. Oh, yeah. I've trailblazed this way into ministry.
Oh yeah, I think your story is going to connect to a lot of women, because a lot of women probably feel the same way you felt, just like Pastor Rachel she's like, I already knew I was going to marry me a minister. That wasn't no joke. I wasn't playing around. I knew what I was going to do.
I ran the other way. I was like, oh, no.
And now we come to you, Pastor Williams. Tell us a little bit of your backstory and how the Lord has worked in your life.
Well, I guess I'm kind of in the middle of the two of them. I've always been a person with a heart. I've always been compassionate, and my goal in life was just to be a registered nurse. That's what I wanted to be. That's all I wanted to be, was a registered nurse. My mom was sickly most of the time, and nurses was mean, and I wanted to be a nurse to take care of my mom. Mm. And so I went to school, and I became a registered nurse, and that's what I thought I wanted to be for the rest of my life. Grew up in Baptist, and was a good old Baptist girl. You know, I was the house girl. I didn't do a lot of outside stuff. Didn't say I didn't do some sin, but I wouldn't do a lot of outside stuff. But lo and behold, I met this Church of God in Christ guy that brought me over into holiness. And I found out that holiness was a way of living. You know, it wasn't just the way what you say, it wasn't the name on the church, but it was a lifestyle. And when I really came into the true meaning of holiness and got saved for real,
like that,
God began to work on me. He was in Koji, but he wasn't saved, but he was a good church boy, an organist, a musician. A good church boy. And when I came to him and told him that God had called me into the ministry, his first thing was like, because his mom was a pastor. And his first thing was, I knew I shouldn't introduce you to my mama. So God began to work in my life and anoint me for the calling. And he finally, after years and years, after 13 years of marriage, and I had been in ministry now for about 10 of those years, he finally decided to accept his calling in ministry. And when he accepted his calling in ministry, God just elevated him, because he was making up for lost time. And God elevated him, and we got in ministry, and ministry was, like you say, ups and downs, good, bad, and ugly. When we first started, we went on a 7-week revival. And that's when God began to send souls in. 7 straight weeks, just me, him, and the children. Amen. The children was like, can we go back to our old church until y'all get some members? So, because we were founders, so we have a congregation. We started from the bottom, but now we made it to the top. And God blessed him. God elevated him. He became bishop over Church of Kingdom Builders, and we had a great run with that. And then God called him on home to glory. And for some reason, I felt the need to pick that mantle up. If anybody had told me about the mantle, I probably would have left it on the floor. But I picked the mantle up. That was 2015, and I've been running with it ever since.
God bless you.
God has been sustaining the ministry. Now I understand when he used to tell me, I know I make this look easy, but it ain't as easy as I make it look. Now I understand exactly what he was saying, because it's not as easy as it we make it look. There's some ups and downs. There's some sleepless nights. But God is yet sustaining. So I wouldn't take nothing for my journey. It's been a journey, but I wouldn't take nothing for it. And I just asked God to be with me, do it all after he left me. And God has done that. And the ministry is still flourishing.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Oh, my goodness. You just touched my heart. God bless you. God bless you.
Amen. See, this is what it's, this is why I wanted to get you through together, because the stories. And I know each one of you can bless someone who's listening to this show right now, with just your backstory. Because I know some people say, "Oh, I can connect to you," and you know, and at the same time, all three of you are motivating a lot of women out here right now. Not only women, but men too. I was listening to T.D. Jakes Tuesday. I listened to T.D. Jakes on Tuesday. And he was talking about a story of how Jesus used the story of this woman who was trying to get the judge's attention to show the disciples how to pray properly. Like, do not quit. Just don't, you know, keep praying. Don't stop. And I'm sitting there like, thank you, God, for the confirmation, because I knew this show was coming about. And to hear that word, I was like, that's it. Because can't nobody pray for you like a woman can pray for you. I know I always say all the time, my mama, my grandmama, they're here, all of you. It's always them. I don't never say like my uncle or my daddy. I don't never say them. Like, they, I don't know if they praying or not. They may say they do. I know mama and grandmama and them was praying. But saying all of that, for each one of you, how difficult was it once you knew that God called you? How difficult was it for you to move up in ministry, as you know, because to be where you are, I know you had some obstacles to overcome each level, you know, because you guys go back so many, you're talking years and years, and right now, you know, I think it's maybe a little bit easier for women, but I know getting started, when you guys were getting started, when you ladies were getting started, it wasn't an easy road to be able to stand up in the pulpit.
Well, for me, I would have to say, I don't know which way to look up. I don't know if I should look up at the camera or look down at the screen. I'm looking at your face. But for me, I would have to say that I was my biggest problem. I was the biggest issue. And I was always questioning my worthiness. But it wasn't until I came to grips with God does the calling. God qualifies the caller. And it's nothing that we can do, because he's already ordained. He's already put us in motion to do what it is that we've called. We just have to accept it. And once I removed self out the way, really, that took a lot. Because all of the outside forces of saying, I remember when, or how could you, and all of that stuff. And now you're no longer going to fit in with the cool crowd. It was more of the outside people, more so than the people in the church. The people in the church were, I was hoping that my pastor, when I told him that I accepted my calling to the ministry, I was hoping he said, well, no, you ain't it. God didn't call you. I was really hoping that he said that. But when I came to him and I was just in tears, and he was saying, it's about time. And I was like, oh, Lord Jesus. I was like, no, this is not what I was. But when I moved self out the way and stopped trying to validate by my own merits as if I was good enough, then God God, he showed me that I was good enough. and that all I had to do was to be obedient. And if I was obedient and to trust him, that he would lead the way. And so when I removed myself out the way and allowed him to move in, then things got better. And so then the noise of the people, it quieted down. But I was allowing all of the fuss to take place because I was valuing what people would say versus what God had said. And so there was so much. I mean, when I said yes to the Lord, all the peace, oh my God, it was this peace. When they said that peace that surpasses all understanding, mm-hmm. that peace that overcame yes. my body and my mind, it was unexplainable. And that's why I knew that it was God that was orchestrating and in control of everything. And so now I'm just like, okay, well, if you can roll with me and God, then it's all right. You just go about your business. But that took maturity for me.
Yes.
So I would have to say that's been the biggest obstacle for me.
All right. Pastor Rachel.
Yes. I just didn't want to cut in on anyone. Yeah. So what for me, it's a little bit different. When I came up in ministry, of course, I got married I was married at 20. So that was about 24 years ago. So in that era, it was a time where, how can I say it? Women were just being, I think, not so much attacked like majorly, but it was more like women was just coming into the place of being partially accepted. So that was the era God started using me because I was in, you know, me and my husband were pastors a year after we were married. We were ordained through our apostle to be pastors. And so after that time, it was more of the era I came in, it was more, women were accepted, I guess. And it could have just been connected to the circle and my surrounding as well. Women were being accepted, but we were still in the background in the area of if you were married to a pastor. So my husband was a pastor. I was the first lady. And so I remember being in that place. That was more of a place, even though we were one and God had called him to be the pastor and I was along his side as his wife, just helping and assisting. It also kind of, how can I say it? It also kind of felt like somewhat of the background, not from my husband, but more so from the people. I remember in the genesis of our ministry, feeling like I was stepped over and the person that was primarily respected was the pastor. I was just with them. You know what I'm trying to say? So I remember that. I remember that season of feeling really kind of like, oh, this is not a good place to be in. Although it is a chosen place by God to infect and impact women in ministries, the feeling of the price that I have to pay, the pressure of feeling walked over and stepped over, you know, of not being recognized as, I guess, important per se. So I remember that the genesis of that was very kind of hurtful. And I remember not feeling part and just feeling like I'm just here. I'm just his wife. People are stepping over me. They don't kind of ask me some of the stuff they can ask me. And so I remember bringing some of those issues to my husband in the beginning. But one thing that I had a mind made up, I've always been obsessed with God and obsessed with fulfilling my destiny. So my obsession was bigger than the attacks I went through. My obsession was bigger than being stepped on or mistreated by members. We were also, Pastor Williams, we started from scratch. We started with nothing. God called us. We had microphones. We had speakers that we rented from the pawn shop. We went on the streets where the dirt was and we sung. We started like that. We didn't have a building. We didn't get a building when God ordained us to pastor to about 4 years into us pastoring when we got our first building. So when I say God called us, he called us at a level and then qualified us through the sufferings that we have to endure. So the calling is not comfortable and it wasn't comfortable for us. So anybody can be called if you start off with a church with 500 people. We started out, I was the member. I was the secretary. I was the person when the person fell out. I caught the person. Then I was the person that met you at the door. I mean, we did it all. I was the nurse who brought my husband water. I wiped the sweat off of his skin, and then I changed the towel. We did that. But the Lord has been tremendously good to us because, and I think the keeper for me, and I can conclude with this, the keeper for me has been to stay through the full transition. I want to say that to women out there that listen, when God call you, he's not going to necessarily call you in a comfortable place. But the thing that kept me and my husband stable and punctual for the call is that we knew who called us. We weren't called by the naysayers. We weren't called by who didn't like that I was in ministry because I was a woman. You didn't call me. Therefore, you can't qualify me. But the one that qualified me have marked me. And when God marked you, he'll mark you to be able to get through the comfortable seasons, because those comfortable seasons is what qualify you for where he's trying to take you. And I may not have understood that then in ministry as a woman, but God was training me, because I can't lie to you, I was very quiet. I wouldn't really stand up for things in ministry that I could have as a woman because I didn't have the backbone to do that. But through 24 years, God has given me triple backbones. I've been broken in every place. I've been shattered. I've been scattered. I've been burnt down. I've been rebuilt again. What God will allow you to go through in ministry, if it don't destroy you, I'm telling you, God will rebuild you. And that's what he's done in my life. And I stand with confidence now, knowing that I wouldn't take nothing from my journey. I thank God for calling me as a woman and allowing me to have the mindset and the spirit to stand by my husband's side, not trying to step above him. Because even as Reverend said, how if God called you, you know, we don't have anything to prove. You know, if the anointing is on you and God has mantled you, he's going to highlight that in his timing. And so God chose to anoint me by my husband's side, and he began to expand my voice through the years. So I just want to take that moment to encourage the women that, yes, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that it's going to be easy, but I thank God that it was my journey has been worth it. And I also thank God for this. Thank God for my husband, Pastor Ronald Wilson, his absence as well. But one thing that made my journey better is that my husband, who is the pastor, qualified me as far as in the area. He pushed me. Now I don't know how to relate to other pastor wives that where their husband is against them in ministry. That wasn't really my case. So my husband knew that the Lord's hand was on me and I was called to minister and pray and do things with ministry. So that do help. That do help you a whole lot, even though other coming, you know, through ministry. Your husband endorsing you, and he has never had any spirit against any women in ministry. And I thank God for that. That's not every pastor's wife's case.
Amen.
But I'm just honored to be here, and I thank God for this opportunity to say that.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. All right, Pastor Williams, it's on you.
Okay,
I have enjoyed these women of God. I'm telling you, it's just... It's been enlightening even for me, because sometimes we feel as if we're in a world by ourselves because we can't talk to everybody.
Come on.
We can't even have everybody in our circle because of where God has us at. So I thank God for even hearing, you know, the women's testimonies in their life, because when I came in with, well, as a matter of fact, I was ministering before my husband, and that was tedious, trying to minister, and he wasn't saved at the time, and so that was a battle for me. Even though he was in church, he was a church musician, he had to be the church anyway, but his mom was a pastor. His mom started pastoring in 1984. She was the first woman pastor in Church of God in Christ.
Wow. Mm.
Her name may never make it in the history books, but she was the first woman pastor that stepped out in Church of God in Christ. And her name is Dr. Martha Williams. And so he never fought against women preachers. He just didn't want his wife to be a preacher. but you know, we were in, he was a musician and I was a singer, and that's how we met in the music field. And When he go play, I would be there and I was the director. So they would get two for one. He would play and he would bring me along to be the director. So, and that's how we did it. But as God called me into ministry, now I got a different calling on my life. And I got the respect of the people doing ministry because I didn't try to push myself on people. It is what it is. This is who I am. I ain't got to defend it. God called me. There's no defense for it. You can say whatever you want to say, but hey, it is what it is. So I was me. I just thank you for letting me be myself. I'm just was myself. I loved people, so I didn't have a problem with people being, but I found out in ministry that you would get haters even though you haven't done anything. That the haters just automatically come. The people just thought, and I'm like, at first I thought everybody loved me. I was like, everybody loved Raymond. I thought everybody loved Pastor, you know, Evangelist William as I was then. But then I found out after my husband became pastor, and now I'm first lady, even though I'm Evangelist, but I'm first lady. And one thing about me, my leader taught me that. And as being a woman in ministry, don't try to push your way in. Mm-hmm. If they don't offer you the high seat, you take the low seat, because you are just as anointed on the floor as you is in the pulpit.
You better preach.
If they don't offer you to come to the pulpit, don't get upset. Don't get offended. Just do what you do right there on the floor. So that's what that was me. You know, I didn't have to take the high seat, but my husband was one. You know, we was a team. Teamwork made our dream work. We Amen. Were a team. He called me his queen. So they knew that and I was the one that where my husband was, that's where I was. I didn't know that first ladies, I didn't get the memo that you didn't have to go everywhere your husband went. I didn't get that memo. But a lot of times when we would go places, or either when pastor would come to us, their wife wouldn't be with them. And I was like, I ain't getting no memo that, you know, we had the option not to go. But that wasn't me. I was with my husband. I was right by his side. And he acknowledged me. And I'm like, the other pastor, I didn't have that problem with my husband. He pushed me out there. He encouraged me. And, you know, we built ministry together. Like I said, it wasn't easy. We built it from the ground up. We had our ups, we had our downs, but through it all, God still made ways out of no way. And a lot of time when things happen, and my husband was such, my brother Ricardo, he was a talker. He was kind of like a black Jew. He can get out of you what nobody else could. And our ministry was the ones that gave a lot of people their start in ministry. Awesome. A lot of people now have the testimony that's where I preached my first summer. They the first one that allowed me to preach, or they allowed me to do this. And that was, we were builders. And that's why when God called him into bishopship, his name, he changed the ministry to Church of Kingdom Builders, because he wanted to build the people of God. And, you know, it was a journey. And we were supposed to grow old together. So when he left me, it was a bit rough, but it was so amazing. And people are still wondering how today that I did it and how that I'm standing. Because he died on a Saturday. And that Sunday morning, it was the first Sunday of a brand new year. People were like, the members were like, Pastor, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And God was like, you have got to go hold the people together. I'm like, how can I hold them together when I need to strengthen myself? He said, I'm going to give you what you need. And I got up that morning, and I take care of a handicapped patient. And I went that morning, and I went to work. I went and I fed my patient. And what let me know that God was with me is that his mom asked me, he said, well, how's your husband? I said, Miss Green, let me get back with you after I feed John. And I fed John, and his dad came in, and he brought me this white orchid just out of the blue. And I burst into tears, and they're like, oh my God, what's the matter? And I told them that my husband had died. And they're like, why are you here? I said, because I felt like if I came here, I would get some peace. And y'all just gave me the peace that I need to go do what I need to do. So I left there. I went home. I got dressed in my white and I went to church. And that same man that never goes to church, his wife goes to church all the time. He don't go to church. But I walked into church that day, and he was standing on my front row with another flower. I preached that day like I had never preached before. I don't even remember what I preached, but I preached. And I was able to hold the church together. And from that moment on, I've been still going. I had never had to take, I didn't take no time off. I've been still, but God gave me the strength. When he dropped that mantle on me, he gave me the strength. I don't know where it came from, but he gave it to me. And I've been able to continue to carry on with the strength of God and with his help. And it's just been a God thing. And I found out that sometimes a bad place is a God place. Mm-hmm. Everything ain't going to always be good. It ain't going to always go the way that you envision it to go. But except what God allows. Mm-hmm. And so since God, you allowed this, then you must got a plan. So as I walked in the plan of God, God has yet kept me in my right mind. In my right mind. And so I'm still here.
The one question I want to ask you all, and all of you all being women in ministry, and like nowadays you have a lot of women like yourself that young ladies can look up to, but who are some women that you all looked up to growing up in ministry?
Well, for me, I have a few on my list, but my primary one for me was Prophetess Juanita Bynum. And one of the reasons why I believe for me that someone that God primarily had me gravitate to, because number one, she was African American. And so to see an African American black woman excel at the level like a Pastor Benny Hinn, you know, to do crusades, to lead women to the altar, being African American, I've never seen that in my life. And so the thing that caused me to gravitate to her primarily was leading people back to the altar. I am a young lady that come from, I was born in church. I was raised in church. I think my mother delivered me in church. So I've never been away from church. I mean, everything I've done it in kingdom. You know, when I backslid, if I was in sin, anything that I've ever done in my life, it has never been outside of the four walls of the church. I've always been in church. My struggles, I just stayed in church. You know, I've always been in the choir, singing, doing whatever I've ever done has been in the church. And so, needless to say that I come from old school where we begin to get the Holy Ghost and the mothers would pull us to the altar, even when they thought we were backsliding, they pulled us to the altar. So I'm one of those altar saints that came, you know, from that old school style. And as I grew up, the world and Christendom got away from a lot of that. We got away from a lot of the altar. You just come to church and have a good time. But I believe for myself, when God raised up Prophetess Juanita Bynum, and this is for me, this is my personal testimony. For me, it was a voice and a statement that represent me, because many times you see God raise up someone, it could be a different color, a different nationality, a different culture, but she represented, I believe, the face of African American women, because there's a lot of African American women that are called to the ministry. Many to even do what Prophetess Bynum have done. But when you don't see anyone being a forerunner in ministry with a success on that level, and not only God gravitating to them on that level, but people as well, it can shorten your hands. It can, you know, amputate your call because you haven't seen God do it yet, per se. But when I seen God use her, I knew that for me, it was a template that these are some of the things that God wanted to do in me. So I would have to say for myself, primary, that, and to this day, that's someone that I thank God that has been a template even in my life to see the structure, what she's gone through, because anybody can talk about anybody, but a lot of people that talk about leaders, they not here no more. But some of the ones that have made some mistakes and failed, they're still here. They're still grinding. So I've learned through life that sometimes you just got to take your mouth off of people, because they're more stronger in the ring than you think they are. And so I just, that's just one of the ones, but I have several on my list, but that's one definitely that would be my primary.
Amen. Amen.
Any other ladies? Anybody else? Anyone you looked up to?
I would have to say Priscilla Shear. She is one of my, she's one of the ones that I looked up to. I thought that when I heard her speak, I was really amazed at her practicality. It's one thing to speak, preach the word, but it's another to be able to give life application to it, to where the average person could understand it. And so she has always, she's always been in my forefront, as well as Juanita Bynum and Joyce Myers. I would have to say that when I'm looking for something, needing to hear something encouraging, she's one. Sarah Jakes has now been added to the list. Yeah. I think I must listen to her every morning. Before I start my day, I'm listening to Sarah Jakes. So she's talking to me about something.
and the thing about Priscilla is the fact that, you know, she's always in movies and stuff. Mm-hmm. So people don't really put the preaching side to her a lot, because you just see her in Forrest films. Mm-hmm. So that's very interesting, because I know she comes to Missouri a lot.
Oh, does she really?
Yeah. I always see stuff, because I follow on Twitter and all this stuff. I will send you a message. Okay. Pastor Williams, who did you look up to coming up as a young lady in ministry?
Well, coming up as a young lady in ministry, I had my own personal trainer, and that was my mother-in-law, Dr. Martha Williams, and she taught me the way of holiness. She taught me how to live right. She taught me how to walk right. She taught me the way of holiness, and that holiness was right. Somebody else was wrong. And she taught me. And, you know, back then, like you said, that was a little of the older school type way. Mm-hmm. But it worked. Oh, yeah. It worked. It worked. Some of this stuff now, you know, people have gotten over it, but it still worked. Mm-hmm. It worked for me. I don't know about nobody else, but it worked for me. And it got me to live a life of holiness for real. Yeah. And being conscious about myself. I gathered a motto for myself that I carry to me with me to this day. And that is, if you can't walk it, don't talk it. Mm-hmm. And that's what I learned through holiness. Holiness is a way of life. Mm-hmm. And that's what she taught me, that it's a way of life. How are you living every day? Mm-hmm. Not just what you're doing when church is open, when it's time, you know, to shine, but what are you doing when you go outside of those doors? She taught me the way of holiness. And so that's why I will cherish that for the rest of my life. It does not matter. You know, now my husband is gone, but I cherish her. She was just like a mother to me. And she took me under her wings, and she taught me the way of holiness. And I taught it to my children. Of course, we got different children in these days, but I'm still praying that one day that my whole household would be saved. Yes. And if I was to even take out somebody to this day, I took my young women to our lead concert, a meeting with Tasha Cobb. And I brought them women back. All three of them were saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. And every time they slip now, I say, I'm calling Tasha Carr to come back and give y'all a renewing in y'all spirit. Because they really did. So even the younger people, they got people that they look up to. And I don't shun that. I try to give them their space and their leeway, because somebody gave me space to grow into this way of holiness.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Amen. Amen. See, that's what it's, that's what this is all about. It's just helping these young women who are listening to, and even some of the older women that they're listening to, because some women can get caught up in and correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm just a guy, I don't know, but correct me if I'm wrong. Get caught up into, you know, they may just do, they may help with, let's say, like, the food, you know, because we all know you have a big service. Somebody cooking.
Why don't you?
The cooking committee. The cooking committee. Yeah, but they have a word in them, and they just get discouraged because they're like, well, this is all they want me to do, and so they get afraid to be able to speak up and say, hey, I feel as if I can do this, or I feel like I can do that. What do you say to young ladies that may be afraid to speak up? Or even women that's in, like, in churches now, or someone that's listening, even if it's not church, to be able to say, I can speak up and say, hey, this is where I feel comfortable in.
Amen. Well, I try to encourage mine to let them know that the same grace that was on my life is the same grace that's on your life. It does not matter what you've done. Nothing is too bad that God won't forgive.
Amen.
Especially my young ladies that, you know, some that have messed up and what we called it, you know, baby out of wedlock. Well, I was one of those. So I was able to get on their level and let them know that look at where I'm at. Mm-hmm. So if God did it for me, just because you had a baby out of wedlock, that means that he can do the same thing for you. It's just now what you think about yourself, self-love. You know, you made a mistake. Oh, well, get up. That's another one of my mottos. Get up, get over it, and move on. Don't stay there. Don't wally in it. Get up. You're still somebody in Christ Jesus. So the same grace that's on my life is the same grace that's on yours. If God did it for me, he can do it for you. He has no respect of person. So come on, let's do this thing, whatever it is that God has called you to do. Let's make it happen and then make room for it. Your gifts make room for you, but we got to make room for them. So I make room for them. You know, it may be things that they find, hey, make them feel special in it. Hey, let's do this. Hey, what about you? And some things I know that maybe, you know, somebody else may can do better than them, but I tell my leaders, make room for other people to come up. Where you at right now may not be where you at next year. When you go up, somebody else can come on up after you. So let's not have a mindset that we're going to be here until we die in the same, doing the same thing. Amen. You teach the other ones and make room for them and allow them to have the same grace on their life that God put on yours. And that don't mean that you're being demoted. That just really means you're being elevated.
Amen.
You do something else greater in the kingdom.
Amen. Amen. I typically, thank you so much for sharing that. And like you say, you have to make room for people. When I know that there's something within someone and they may be holding it back, I always share my own testimony. And oftentimes looking at a person, you don't think what they've gone through, that they've actually gone through it. Or maybe you've dealt with a person that act like they've never gone through anything in life. Like something's wrong with you. You the alien, but you're like, wait a minute now. But I personally share my story. I said, hey, I've not always had it together. You know, if you look at my life, I did everything backwards. I had a baby first, got married second, finished college third, and then bought a house. So I always try to encourage them through my story. And never let them feel like they're alone. And then always, it really encourage fellowship, because there's so many people that are going through and feel the exact same way, but they're all in silos. And so you, because it's in a silo, you never get your word out or never feel like no one else can relate to you. So really encouraging people, like-minded people, to be around each other that are going to encourage each other and going to build each other up and help them to wipe off their own, wipe the dirt off of their shoulders and say, hey, this is just part of the process. But God, you're still worthy for God to still use you. And so, and I'm a witness. And so I'm a living testimony. And so if he can do it for me, he can show do it for you. Because I got, you talk to me long enough, you're going to be like, girl, you a minister. And so, but I just find peace in knowing that God still called me worthy in spite of. Yes. And so just encouraging other ladies, I mean, again, just sharing a testimony and just letting them know that they're not by themselves.
Amen. What I would do, and I really have enjoyed just this time with all of you all. Thank you so much, sir, for just bringing us together to just share to the world, I believe, to the world and to the nation, just a testimony of true believers and women. And happy Mother's Day as well for everyone out there. One of the things that I would do would be to, first of all, I want to say to some of the young ladies or just women in ministry that's out there that do feel a call, you do feel a deep call in you, but as he mentioned concerning, you may be doing something else that could be what you deem to be lower than your call to minister. You could be an usher, and that's not a lower call. That's still ministry, and that's still a minister. We need ministers to usher. Amen. So, but I understand there's other levels in ministry. And for those of you that feel that call, what I want to encourage you to do, those of you that are out there, please go to your leaders. I've been taught protocol, and that's one of the things I believe the church world in Christendom, we got to get back to protocol. Don't just come up, you know, because now, I don't know if you all know this, but now anybody can be a pastor, anybody can be a minister. Yes. They can go online and get a certificate within probably 24 hours, if you will. You can be certified as your own pastor. And so that has caused a breach in protocol. But I want to encourage you all, don't just become your own minister. Don't do that. Don't do that under the table prophetess or a preacher. You're preaching to somebody in the bathroom. I've seen this stuff done. I've been in ministry. Me and my husband have been pastoring for 24 years. You got bathroom prophets. You got on the corner prophets. You got, I mean, you would believe all the prophets that don't have their lives together, but they got a word for you. So I want to say this to you. That's a whole nother story. But for Mother's Day, I want to encourage you women out there, please just submit to the authority of the leadership and go sit down. Don't just harbor any animosity in your heart, because believe it or not, people of God will get offended with leaders because they think you should pick up, they have a call. And maybe we should. And thank God for the leaders that are ultra sensitive that do. I mean, thank God for the fold that we have. Me and my husband, God has blessed us to be keen in the spirit to pick up those ones that are called. And even for the timings, because that's where our prayer life is at. We pray to cover the sheep. We pray to be ultra sensitive to know who have the call so their call won't get stepped on. Because we know about being stepped on in our call. So that the pain and the process of our own life made us ultra sensitive. But if that is not your case with your leader, please, I want to encourage you to go to your leaders and just share with them what's going on with you. And if you're in the right ministry, they will give you the right instructions. They're not going to crush your call. They're going to tell you the timing. They may tell you that you need some more time, because a real good leader is going to tell you the truth. I have a 21-year-old, I have a 14-year-old, and I have a 4-year-old, okay? I would never put my 4-year-old behind the wheel of my car, because I understand timing and season, and I understand you're going to make a wreck. So if you're with a good leader, I don't care how much my son Pierre say, Mom, I want to drive. I promise you, I can drive. I can preach. I'm not allowing you, because I love you, to get in that car. So I want to encourage you all out there as well. Please make sure you did not join a church because of the crowd. Make sure you didn't join a church because of some fine men there. Make sure you didn't join a church because of the steeple, because especially our culture, we're not really keen to seeking God for who our leaders are. We're looking for a steeple. We're looking for a building, and a building has never been the church. So that's the problem with a lot of people, a lot of women that's out of their zone of ministry, is because they're not even under the right tree. They're not even under the right authority. Because when you're under the right authority, they'll be able to tell you when you have green leaves and there's figs on your leaves and it's time to go. But if you're under, if you're just in a church and you're just in a number, you're going to die frustrated, and probably you will amputate your call. So please speak to your leaders. And my prayer is that that's a good leader and that's a good church that will usher you in the right time and to do whatever God has called you to do.
Amen. You know, you said earlier, I was a joke I used to always say about those bathroom prophets and all this stuff. Because I always like to say, they come up to you like, God told me a word for you. Oh, and that word is, tomorrow's going to be Saturday.
Something you already know, huh?
Something you already know. It's like, yeah, I kind of knew that already. And you don't think about it. You be sitting there like, oh, Lord, the Lord said it's going to be Saturday. Oh, my God, it's Friday. And you're like, I'm so thankful you gave it. Just a foolish. But thank you for that. Everything that all three of you said is great. And I'm so glad that you were able to really I'm glad we were able to laugh about it, because some things that's good too. You just laugh about some things, but everything that you all said is in love, and it's the truth, because we need that. And one thing we cannot do, and which goes into my next question, and I would love for each one of you just chime in whenever you feel like it. Because Pastor Rachel, you were saying that, you know, let's not look at the building or the steeple or go to some church because there's some fine men there and all that stuff. But what about this other thing that our young ladies are dealing with? That's social media. How do you work to try to help young ladies? Because I know I see young ladies in church. As soon as church is out, they grab their phone, they look it in there, and they're not communicating with anybody because they're just trying to catch up on the latest thing that they missed out while they was in church. Social media is becoming a kind of a issue that I feel is hurting our young ladies. Also the young men too, but in this case, I really want to focus on the young ladies. How can you as leaders, what's some of the ways that you all do to be able to curb the effect of social media with your young ladies that you're mentoring?
Okay, well, I don't
want to
butt in too quick, but I wanted to say one of the things that we're doing, my husband and I, at Kingdom Vision Life Center in Greensboro, we love the youth. And so loving the youth means you're gonna have to sacrifice and pay a price for the youth to be current for today. The sons of Issachar understood the times and the seasons. We're in the times and we're in the seasons where social media is trying to take over. It has become an idol. That's the times, that's the season. But if we are already prepared a sacrifice, we already have threshed, God will make us current for the time and the season. And so in the transition of this season where the social media begin to dominate, we begin to even see the shift in some of the minds of the youth, we begin to pray. Me and my husband began to have prayer. We believed in prayer. We're a praying church. I think our longest we've had is 45 nights of straight prayer, going pressing and pushing and going to the church. The youth, yes, dragging our youth on school nights, dragging them to prayer because they really need some prayer, because in the times and the season, they need to pray. And so we pressed and God began to revive the youth, and then God shifted it. Our whole complete media department shifted and took a turn from all of the adults to, God said, give it to the youth. All of our youth is dominant in all of our media. They run our cameras. They learn the switchboards, anything dealing with our PowerPoints. You have all of our youth carrying major cameras to shift us to the nation. And God did that thing because God knew that the attention span of the youth is in media, but let me shift that focus and put them over media. So God has a way to transfer this thing, and it kept our youth alert. It kept our youth understanding that, wow, we're now using media to camera in and televise God's ministry and God's works and God's power. And so I think our youngest was 7 years old. We have 7 and 8 year olds running cameras and learning. And they're still being developed. They're still running the media. We have, I believe, one adult that is the chief executive that's back there. Not executive, but the chief that's back there teaching and still training them. We have training classes. But our youth is the dominant that's over our media. So what the enemy meant for bad, God is working that thing for our good. And so I want to say this to everyone that's out there and even for those that are listening. You have to give them a job. You have to be smart. We can't be smart in the times and the seasons if we're not sacrificed, if we're not fasting and praying. I come from old school. I still fast. I still pray. I still believe in prayer shawl. I still believe in my talith. you know, whatever you want. I'm telling you, I need all of that and then some. You can call me super spiritual, but it's working for me and it's working for my youth. My children, my sons are still saved and they're sold out to God in the ministry. So it's working for us. I always tell people what you can mock, you can do whatever you want to do, but it's working for us. And so our youth are still saved. They love ministry. We've had so many youth that come to our church and say, "Mom, I love this ministry. It's something about this ministry." And the testimonies was our youth would go to sleep in church. Now they're active because, again, you're going to have to be current for the times and the season. And one of the things we have is youth ministry. We have service. We break up the services for the youth, even on Sundays, to teach the teens something that's relevant and current for them. We bring them back. We're teaching them and they're running social media, so they're not on their phones. So yes. Yes, I'm excited about that.
Amen. I would have to concur. We have put the youth over. Can you hear me? Can you guys? Okay. I would have to concur. Putting the youth over the cameras, the social media, the marketing. Our entire marketing team consists of the youth.
Yay!
And so it has been really, the youngest is 13. He's running the camera.
Beautiful.
One is running the soundboard. Awesome. One is running the social media, the platform, doing all of the flyers. One is posting all of the flyers.
Yes.
So all of them have been consumed with doing something.
Wonderful.
Now we're trying to modify it to where we can put the youngest in something. So really trying to figure out what their niche is, what it is. But we've learned that putting them in control of something helps them to know that they have placement and it makes them want to stay.
Yes.
Versus saying church is boring and they don't want to be a part of church anymore. So that has kept them captivated. And then even giving them $5 or $10, something that they're getting money from it too. So that really helps as well. So really encouraging them and helping them to do that is making a difference too. So that's
awesome. And our youth is our, like they say, the church of tomorrow, but they are our church of today.
Amen.
Like you say, you know, social media is the thing now. You can't get rid of it. It's here to stay.
Ain't going
so instead of fussing about it, like you say, let's make it useful. Let's make it useful for the church. And when you do that and let them know that, hey, we can be a part of this.
Yeah.
And we can use this to be a part of the kingdom. Okay, I'll come to church then. They'll be glad to be there. They're glad to take a part of it. And I found out if you just let them be who they are.
Absolutely.
Still That's teach wisdom. Holiness. Still teach the kingdom, but let them be who they are. Mm-hmm. They're not going to do it. You know, exactly, you know, we guide them, but they're not going to do it exactly like we old folks would.
Mm-hmm.
They have that little twist to it. But when you allow them to do it, then they get excited about ministry. They get excited about wanting to be there. And then they become your relevant church. They're the ones now that are drawing people into the church, even on social media. You know, you see a lot, so you see them posting a lot of stuff. Okay, let's post some stuff about the church. Let's draw your friends in.
Mm-hmm.
Let them know that you're excited about church. And if you let them know you're excited about church, and I even give my leeway sometime in doing service. All right, take your phones out.
Come on.
Let's do a post. Let them know where you're at. Let's do a post. Tell them, hey, you need to meet. Let's do this in service. You know, and that way, because you know most of them are sometimes in service on their phone.
Mm-hmm.
What you doing? Let's make it relevant for the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and when you start doing that, let them be who they are.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned a lot from my young people, and my young people keep me young. They keep me relevant. They keep me with some moves that I hadn't moved in a minute. because of who they are, and then they love you. Wow, they thank you to cool, you know. They think you're the cool person in town. Ain't nobody like my pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And they begin to, you know, give you your accolades simply because you're not trying to be so high-minded, but you're on their level. But yeah, you're yet preaching holiness. I can tell my young ladies that don't come in dressing right. I have a way. Y'all not going to kill him. If you don't know how to go to him, don't touch him.
Right.
I knew how to go to him.
Come on.
If they skirt too short, I say, hey, did you go back and get part of your money back? They sold your skirt for the full price, but you didn't have your money back. Or they didn't give you all your skirt. And they just laugh. But he's letting them know, hey, that skirt too short. You need to come, you know, bring that skirt down. Mm-hmm. It's a way. I'm not trying to kill them. You know, let's say they taught us, you know, I found out that even the ones that wore the skirts down to the ground was going to hell. And was probably wide open. So I don't let nobody kill my young folks. Mm-hmm. And I tell my leaders, if y'all can't help them, stay away from them. Let them come to me. I deal with them. Mm-hmm. God has graced me for the young people. And like mm-hmm. I said, social media is here to stay. Look at what we're doing now. Church online.
Media. Come on.
Well, I had to deal with it. You know, church online, Facebook Live. Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. So it's here to stay now. It's not going anywhere. So when we use it and let them allow them to use it for the betterment of the church, mm-hmm. then the church will remain relevant.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, I wanted this thing to keep going on. I'm looking at the time. I'm like, man, I got so much. Let me see the time, you know. But, this is so good. One last thing, and then I'm gonna have to let you ladies go because we're coming up on time. I think I got like 10 minutes left before we have to really shut it down. You all said who you enjoy watching. I know, Pastor Williams, you said you had yours homegrown. Pastor Rachel, you said Juanita Bynum, and
so many more, and
Reverend Hendricks, you had yours, and it was Juanita, I can't think of a name now.
Priscilla Shear and
Priscilla. Do you all see? And I know it's in God's time, but do you see like a young African American and female? Being able to hold service as the senior pastor of a church, kind of like what T.D. Jakes and Joy Meyer, on that level. Do you all see that in the future with some of these young ladies that we're trying to develop here as the start? I think this is where God wants us to start, and then eventually we will see. I think we will see a young lady being able to preach to a multitude of people like a Joy Meyer.
Well, I know for myself, in 24 years, I have seen my share of potential. So I believe the potential for another Joyce Myers, a Juanita Bynum, was there any Priscilla Sheard, you name it, Sarah Jakes. I believe that potential has always been widespread, even amongst our community as an African American. Now, when it comes to paying the price and the suffering, that's where we fall short. It's not the potential. I've heard Prophetess Bynum say this about 15 years ago. She said, Lord, I can't be the only one called to do this. And the Lord said, you're not. He said, but it ain't really, though these women don't want to pay the price for this. They're not going to die for no other people. They're going to, you know, fight their call and stay in a church, you know. And I'm going to be honest. This have not been an easy road for myself. I went through a season fighting God, and I did not want to take up the full call, because taking up the full call means you're going to take up the full cross. That cross come with thorns. That cross come with a crucifixion. And the only way you're going to really please God is when you die completely to yourself. And so there's a lot of potential for many Juanita Bynums, many Priscilla, I hope I'm saying it right, Priscilla Sheard and Joyce Myers have always been widespread. You probably got 5 or 10 of them in your church, but only one of them may be willing to really walk out the price, walk out the call and pay the full price. And so I have been one of the few that have truly chosen to lay my life on the altar and die for the cause of other people. Not for myself, not for no fame, not to be seen, but to die that others may be saved. And so that's the rarity. And that's what my prayer and my burden for the kingdom of God is. It's not so much the potential, because I believe that there is potential widespread in every church. I guarantee you that Reverend Pastor Williams and myself can tell you, we can line up 10 women that we see such greatness, maybe the call of a prophetess, even in the office of a prophetess, prophet, if they stay the course, but they can't even take one correction from you. We have some people with great potential. The call is astronomical, but they can't carry a dumbbell in the area of just one correction. They're about to fall apart with one correction. So many times and oftentimes, it's not the call, it's the wasted potential by way of going through the sufferings. And so that's really my burden, is to really pray, not so much that God would continue to send potential, that God, you would position the people with potential, the next Joyce Myers, the next Juanita Bynum, the next Reverend, the next Pastor Williams, the next Ricardo. There's many more servants in the body of Christ, but they're not going to pay the price that we are all willing to pay for the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm. And with God, anything is possible.
So, amen. Yes,
we have some that are coming up, and like she said, we have some that are around us that are already there, but they right now they don't have the platform. Because the platform, you know, so they don't have the platform for it. But yes, we have many that I feel that'll be coming up. To name a few that they already have already named. But like I say, we got even people in our own circle. I got some that, you know, I would put up against anybody. People said the same thing concerning me. But we got to know, as you said, you got to die to the cause. And so many, and that's what I found out with a lot of the women now, they're so easily offended.
Come on.
Everybody now, you try to chastisement, now is an offense to people.
Yes, it is.
And they say, God, they'll give you the scripture, God chasing those they love, but when you chastise them, then it's a whole different ball game.
Yep.
And I personally have went through that my own self when I had to. Very, very potential girl, had very good potential, but I had to end up chastising her, got offended, started talking back, and I had to eventually end up sitting her down. That's old school. Eventually end up sitting them down, because, you know, in order to be made, you got to be chastised. You got to come up through it. You're not going to be always right. So you got to know that in those times that the person that is over you, your leader, that sees the potential in you, knows what it takes for you. So, but so many times now, the ones of today, they can't take nothing. But I heard an old mother that's resting in my spirit always. She said, if you can take it, you can make it. So most of the time today, we got flip mouths. They don't want to take nothing. They got to always say something. They got to always plead their case. It ain't no more yes, ma'am. You know, no, sir. They got to always say something. And I'd be like, baby, just be quiet. Don't say another word. So if we can keep them, they can stop being offended, so easily offended, they will be greater. They will be greater. And as women, as ministry, as women, trying to get into where they feel a man's slot. You don't have to do that. They got their own slot. When God call you into the ministry, you got yours. There's no competition. Just be uniquely you. Be who God made you to be. Do, and God will do the elevate. You don't have to elevate yourself, because if you elevate yourself, allow God to do it. Then God will steadfast you. You'll be steadfast, unmovable.
Yes, you will.
If you can take it, you can make it. So, yeah, stop being so easily offended. We are women. We're not men. I ain't trying to be them. I'm not trying to be a man.
Right.
I honor men. I honor my husband in the position that he was in. I'm not trying to be a man. I like being a lady.
Right.
I'm not trying to dress like him. I like dressing like a lady.
Yeah.
You know, and even with that, as us being ladies, in order for our ministry to be accepted, we can't dress any kind of way either. Mm-hmm. You know, we got to, because when you're going up before men, you can't have everything. You just can't do it because they're not going to see you for who you are. Mm-hmm. They're going to see your body, and we are shapely women. Mm-hmm. I know I am. So I had to, you know, adorn myself, not to say that, you know, that women can't wear what they want to wear, but when it comes to the industry, there got to be a difference. And that's some women don't gravitate to. They think they can still do it in any kind of to change for ministry.
Yeah, you got to go. Come on. That's good.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing I would like to add as well, you know, like you said, people don't want to take chastisement. And what I've had to learn over these last few years is that feelings is not associated to ministry. And people always say, I feel this. I feel as though this. I feel as though it should be this way. But when your leader has requested, when your pastor, your leader has requested that you do something that he has put you over leadership in, I don't think that that should be questioned. I think that, I mean, if you have questions, it's one thing to ask to get clarification. However, to become combative over what you were tasked to do and you have agreed to and your responsibility, because what I've seen is that when it doesn't go according to what they think it should go, then they leave the church, they want to bad mouth you, they want to do all these things when your intentions were to help them to be great or to help them to grow in those areas that they were weak in. But instead of them utilizing that as an opportunity for their growth, they utilize it as a negative to make it seem as though you were trying to, for whatever reason, make them look bad. And right. So I think that goes along again with maturity.
Yes,
And you have to learn some hard things first. And then, too, learning that you can't put your hands on everybody. Everyone is not, although you think that they have great potential, they're not your assignment, you know. Yes. And so you have to be okay with, she's nice, but she's not your assignment. He's nice, but that's not your assignment. And so listening to not yourself, but listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying and remove yourself as you are directing the people. And I think things will be a whole lot better because I tell you, I have learned the hard way over these last few years. And those people that you think that they would never in a million years, and they be the main ones. And you're just like, but I thought you said, and it was not. And so you're hurt and they're bitter. And then they want to bash the church and it just becomes too much. And so you just, again, have to remove self, remove feelings, and just do what God told you to do and just be okay with it, even if it doesn't get a popular consensus.
Amen.
Thank y'all ladies so much. We're up against the time here, so I'm going to wrap this on up. I want to thank you all so much for all that you all are doing. Real quick, throw it out there real quick so people can go check y'all out online. Where your church is at. Pastor Rachel, we'll start with you.
Okay, Kingdom Vision Life Center, and you can find us at kingdomtodaygso.com, and we would love to hear from you all. Thank you, Ricardo. Thank you for this opportunity.
No problem. Pastor Williams, let's get your church.
Pastor Deborah Williams, Greater Harvest. Greater Harvest Temple Ministries, Mobile, Alabama. You can find us on the Facebook, Greater Harvest Temple, and we are out there.
Amen. All right. And Reverend Hendricks, go and say it. I know I say it. Go and you say it.
I would like to invite everyone that's in the area to the Joshua House Church. We are located at 1136 East Dunklin, Jefferson City, Missouri. And you can also find us on the joshuahousechurch.com. website or Facebook. Yeah.
All right, that is. So we're gonna get back to it. Happy Mother's Day to everybody out there.
Happy
I hope
Mother's
you enjoyed
Day.
This show. This is will be a dual put the Straight Talk Saturday Love together. So get this podcast if you missed any parts of it, of this show, and listen to all the things that these ladies say. Nonstop, just let it. We're just gonna let it go. We'll see y'all in a little bit.
Tired of hearing commercials during your worship time? Download Godify now, the first major Christian streaming service. From Jeremy Kemp to Kirk Franklin, listen to music commercial free. Godify is available on Google Play and iOS for Apple users. Stream music videos, podcasts, sermons, and more. Use the promo code Straight Talk to receive your 30-day free trial. That's Straight Talk for your 30 days free trial of Godify. For indie artists, stream your music on Godify by submitting your music to info@godifystreams.com. That's info@godifystreams.com. It's the full Christian experience. Finally, a streaming service designed for you.
Thank you all so much for tuning into the podcast. Keep listening in every week. We'll have a new show for you every week, and I would love to be a part of your life in every week. If you don't mind just taking a minute and let me bless you with what God has blessed me with. This shows and these shows are something that is near and dear to my heart. I love it. It's a great part of ministry. But I look forward to just enjoying some time with you. And we'll see you next week right here on the podcast with your boy, Ricardo Montgomery, a.k.a. the voice of Gospel Radio.
Tired of hearing commercials during your worship time? Download Godify now, the first major Christian streaming service. From Jeremy Kemp to Kirk Franklin, listen to music commercial free. Godify is available on Google Play and iOS for Apple users. Stream music videos, podcasts, sermons, and more. Use the promo code Straight Talk to receive your 30 days free trial. That's Straight Talk for your 30 days free trial of Godify. It's the full Christian experience. Finally, a streaming service designed for you.
Straight Talk is sponsored by Elegant Warrior, a brand to inspire. For more information on our products, go to elegantwarriorinspire.com.
You're listening to the best of Straight Talk, KOPN, KOPN.org.